The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Tuesday morning, the 20th of April, 2021, at 4 minutes past nine. Good to have you with us. We're here till 10 a.m., and you can text away if you wish to 51551 or email ryan at rte.ie. It's a grey morning in Dublin, Ireland today, and that's fine because it means that someone somewhere else is getting the sun, and it's what you deserve. Now, there's a piece that struck me today as much as anything else, which is about your mood. How is your mood today? I'm trying to understand, why is it sometimes you feel not necessarily low, and definitely not high, but not particularly sad, or bad, but just, how's everything going? Yeah, it's grand. nearly there. Apparently, vaccinations. What happens? And they've come up with a word for it, and it's a word that we're familiar with, but they're kind of trying to apply some quasi-medical feeling to this word. So, what they say is, at first, the author of this piece writes, "I didn't recognise the symptoms that we all had in common. Friends mentioned that they were having trouble concentrating. Colleagues reported that even with vaccines on the horizon, they weren't excited about 2021. A family member was staying up late to watch National Treasure, the movie, again, even though she knows the movie by heart. And instead of bouncing out of bed at 6 a.m, I was lying there until 7 playing words with friends." Now, what is that? Anyone going through that? That your life isn't a catastrophe. You're not. You're stuck for money. You're not stuck for friends. You're not stuck for anything necessarily. But you're just... It wasn't burnout. We still had energy. It wasn't depression. We didn't feel hopeless. We just felt something that was joyless and aimless. And it turns out there's a name for it. And the name is languishing. If you're feeling those emotions, you're languishing. And now we have a word in it. It's a sense of stagnation and emptiness. It feels as if you're muddling through your days, looking at your life through a foggy windshield. And they're saying today in the New York Times that it might be the dominant emotion of 2021. Languishing. As scientists and physicians work to treat and cure the physical symptoms of long-haul COVID, many people are struggling, frankly, with the emotional long haul of the pandemic. It's a fair call, because sometimes you just get... I remember saying it to Dr. Fauci on The Late Late Show. What about this idea of fed-uppery? And there's a bit of that involved in languishing, I think. People are fed up. Anyway, it hit some of us unprepared as the intense fear and grief of last year faded. And... how do you fix it? Well, it could give us a socially acceptable response to the question, how are you? So instead of saying, yeah, great, or I'm fine. But imagine if we answered by saying, honestly, I'm languishing. The only problem is, somebody told me they were languishing. I could say, well, there are bigger problems in the world than you languishing. So it seems to be like a private affair in some ways. But they say it would be a refreshing foil for toxic positivity. How about that for a moment? That quintessentially American pressure to be upbeat all the time. Everything's fine. What about an antidote to languishing? So what can we do about that? A concept called flow. Flow may be an antidote to languishing. Flow is that elusive state of absorption in a meaningful challenge or momentary bond where your sense of time and place and self melts away. So an early morning word game catapults some people into flow. A late night binge on some TV show you're watching does a trick for others. It transports you into a story where you feel attached to the characters and concerned for their welfare. Give yourself some uninterrupted time. Focus on small goals, little wins, like trying to figure out a whodunit or the rush of playing a seven-letter word. These are the suggestions they're saying that'll help you get through it all. But anyway, that's it. Languishing is your word of the day. Is that not known as meh day? It is. Yeah. In Irish, it's probably mihill, you know, which is a different word just created. Yeah. Or creosoch is the Irish word for it, apparently. I'd like to get the Irish folklore dictionary definition of what that is, because the Irish words, as you know, from Manchon McGann, there's many, many words. There are many, many Irish words for many, many things.
So we'll have a look at that. But that's it. Languishing is the word of the day, they're saying there, for that sort of sort of day. Now, I like the story in the Irish Examiner about how they've decided to take the Department of Rural and Community Development have decided to take old cinemas and old courthouses and indeed old hotels and convert them into remote working hubs. So they've got 24 towns. Yall in Cork is among them. And they have, it's a rural regeneration. If they come good on this, fair play. You know, we're quick to knock, but if it works, it works. Heather Humphreys pulling this out of the bag. Pedestrian zones, green areas and outdoor events spaces will also be developed as part of a rural regeneration and development fund worth about €1 billion. And what they're taking is some derelict building on, for example, on Yall's Main Street. They're going to turn that into a library and a learning hub and a community space. And then a 19th century vacant agricultural building and car park will be transformed into a market quarter in Thurles in Tipperary. And elsewhere, what are they going to do? The old Ritz Cinema in Ballybuffet, Stranoller in County Donegal will be now an enterprise and remote working hub. Three historic town centre buildings in Ballymahon and Longford will be converted into a co-working space, a youth hub and community centre. And elsewhere, where do you got the Portumna Courthouse Art Centre has got money too, and an old schoolhouse in the centre, Kinnegad in Westmeath, will get a load of money to convert it into a community library and education and training area. So that's pretty impressive because it also keeps those old buildings, which are also often very beautiful, in use. So that seems practical and useful and of interest. That's good news. If you're age 65 or over, they're urging you, the journal.ie today telling us that people age 65 and older have been urged not to drink strong tea with your meals because doing so can interfere with the absorption of some essential minerals. So, for example, older adults who drink strong tea should only do so between meals. So that's not, this isn't a ban on strong tea. It's the only tea I can possibly drink. As drinking strong tea with meals interferes with the absorption of iron and zinc. So now you know. When I was a kid, my dad used to bring us, and we'd have a Happy Meal or whatever, with a little plastic puppet of Ronald McDonald as a bonus prize. And he would have a plain enough burger and a cup of tea with it. It's a very unusual thing to do. Now, that would probably be of his age and generation. But I think drinking tea with food doesn't work at all. It's fine with a biscuit or cake or something, but with food, like burgers or meat or something, no, I can't figure that out at all. Moore Street, good on them, independent.ie, a group that has been campaigning for almost 20 years to preserve historical 1916 sites on Moore Street has produced a free battlefield map. I'd like that. Campaigner Patrick Cooney of the Save 16 Moore Street campaign committee rather, and the 1916 Relatives group said they decided to produce the map after giving the tour to politicians and relatives for years. Starts at the side door of the GPO, follows the evacuation route of the volunteers into Henry Place, passing the famous White House and leading to number 10 Moore Street, where the garrison broke the terrace, eventually occupying the entire block. So I'm absolutely keen to do that tour as soon as the fates allow. And I know that they were saying today that bookings are brisk, according to the Echo this morning. For FODA, which will be opening up, as will Dublin Zoo and a lot of these other places starting to open next Monday. Isn't that great news? Places of heritage and so on. We can all get back stuck into our beloved sites and parks. So that's good. All told, it's all opening softly, softly, catchy virus. Or not. Tweet by Dublin Fire Brigade last night. Going to bed soon. Don't be tempted to charge your mobile and devices overnight. I don't know one person who doesn't charge them overnight, even though it's wrong. Unplug them when the battery reaches 100%. Use genuine chargers and undamaged cables. Okay. Always charge on a solid surface, never on a bed or a sofa. Hashtag fire safety. Okay, that's a little random tip for you, but that should do a job. Now, Ricky Gervais is filming Afterlife Season 3, just for those of you who want an update on that. Downton Abbey 2 is definitely coming out and it's going to be in the cinemas for Christmas. That's a Christmas treat, as is the cinema. God help us, I don't want that back. And an ongoing interest in the movie, promising young female And it is a promising young woman, I think, isn't it? Sorry. Carey Mulligan's film. And it is, I just loved it. And I was urging my girls to watch it. And the oldest did. And she loved it. So that's an endorsement enough for me. And Carey Mulligan, who, as I said before, I wouldn't have been rushing to see what she's been in, but she's been good in whatever she's in. But after this, I just think she's terrific in it. And it just saw a different side to her as an actress. I thought she was excellent. And the question in the cover of the Irish Daily Mail today is Carey's film a feminist triumph or an anti-man diatribe? And you have to go and see it for yourself because it's a revenge movie. And it's the woman's revenge, and with that, you know, there's risk of sounding trying to be woke or something, but it isn't it about time? And it works for me. I thought it was just a great film. Who doesn't like a revenge film anyway? When the little gal gets their revenge on the creatures that have caused all the trouble, and you know, some of the great revenge movies. We used to watch the Charles Bronson films. They were very popular at home when I was a kid. Weirdly, but that's what people want. That you know, I want to find the man who shot my paw. You know, it's that stuff. And whether it's westerns or, you know, Deadpool's brilliant. Have you seen Deadpool? That's very funny, and that's another fine one. Man on Fire was another one. My pal recommended that to me, and he was right. That's a great film. Inglourious Basterds, I keep talking about, but it's got to be one of the greatest of them all because it takes on the Nazis. And who doesn't want to take revenge on the Nazis? So there are great revenge films out there, and I think this is right up there with them. It's a great film. I hope you like it. All right, 51551. Languishing. Does this mean we now have to mind our language? Yeah, I think that just about scrapes. Yeah, you can have that. You can have that. 50 years ago, as a teenager, my father had a word for languishing. It's called slounging. When he was trying to drag us out of summer beds, says Miriam. Slounging. And Quish, I can't remember the right spelling. At school, it was kind of middling, is what it meant. A tea with a fry and toast is different. Yeah, it's different. You can have that. My phone charger started smoking as I was holding it the other day. I will never charge overnight again. Okay, I think that there are pretty much a lot of horror stories on the phone charging overnight. And I don't think I've been listening closely enough. And I think I can start pretty soon. Sean is in East Donegal. Across much of Ulster, especially here in West Ulster, we would refer to languishing as being scunnered. It's an Ulster Scots word and is widely used up here. If you are particularly scunnered, we'd say, I'm clean scunnered. And that obviously fills the gap of the Quishock, which is, again, just middling, which will do the word. I prefer ennui, says Catherine. Well, indeed, that's taking it to another level altogether. And it's the French boredom and this listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement. Well, you know, if an adult suffers from languishing, ennui, quiesoc, or whatever, we say, oh, I'm just feeling that middling and just not feel very motivated. If a child came up to us and said, in their own language, I'm bored, or I don't know what to do, or I'm feeling listless, you'd say there's no such thing as not having an imagination, wouldn't you? You'd wag a finger in their face and say, don't come to me telling me about your quiesoc and your listlessness and your ennui. Go, the world is a very interesting place. Go and find something to do. And I think that's what this is about, is you have to motivate yourself to do all of that. Jane in Dublin 18, thank you for giving me the word languishing this morning. You describe exactly how I feel. Gardening is my escape. You see, that's the thing. So if you were a kid, you'd say, do a jigsaw. I don't like jigsaw. Go for a walk. I don't like walking. Make a cake. I hate cakes. Use your imagination. That was there for. I don't have one. You do. You just haven't used it properly yet. And equally, adults need to do something similar. My tip for languishing, says Kathleen, is watching Sunday night's Line of Duty. I watched it last night. I'm still not sure what went on. I feel like a rewatch is needed with some note-taking for possible follow-up research. Confused, but still hooked. Kind regards to you and the team. That's from Kathleen. And I must say, I watched it, Line of Duty, yesterday because I didn't see it on Sunday. And my head is in... Oh, Roy getting ahead of himself. My mistake. And my head was slightly wrecked from it because I was kind of trying to figure out what is the story with who and why and where and when and who. And I couldn't read anything because everyone was giving away stuff. So eventually watched it. And there is, I think about 3 or 4 papers today carry 2-page spreads of explainers for it. So get yourself a paper, mostly a tabloid, to be honest with you. They do very good takes on it. And That'll help, but it is, it's utterly engaging and then a jaw-dropper of a finish. And I'm loving the fact that it's one every week, not the binge, because it's putting manners on us. It's giving us patience. It's preparing us for the real world when we come out of the COVID, for the roaring 20s, which I'm very excited about. But it does. And also that lovely communal sense that everyone's watching it at the same time on a Sunday, what have you said. It's good also. Right then. Right, Roy, we're ready for you now. Now, this has kicked off a little debate here about regarding languishing. It does feel like it's a privilege to some to be languishing. Is that all you've got? We call it the doldrums or the doldrums. We're having a doldrum a year and we're in the doldrums. Yeah, it's a familiar word used in this regard, no doubt about it. That word languishing, says the text, makes feeling middling feel worse. I looked it up, failing to make progress or be successful. I like to think of it as feeling more up than down or down than up, playing with the dogs, going for a walk and not looking back at what I didn't do to help keep the balance and tip it more up than down. So here's wishing you a day that's more up than down. Okay, I'll say yes to that. I agree, ennui is a better word, a better term for languishing. The term has its origins with the Christian monks of the Egyptian deserts. The Christian monks of the Egyptian desert. Wouldn't you love to go down there for 1.5 seconds just to have a look at the monks in the desert and say, what were they getting up to? I take the point about tea not going with meals, says Pat in Cork, except for fries, vegetarian or otherwise. Now, I guess us oldies have to ease up on enjoying the strong cuppa with it. What innocent guilty pleasures left? I have to say, I found that New York Times piece, says Sarah in Dublin, eye-rolling in extreme, utterly privileged, self-indulgent, not resourceful. If you're feeling somewhere between depressed and flourishing, you are fine. The level of pseudoscience in that piece was jaw-dropping, really not helpful in a time when people are actually suffering. Rant over. I thought it was just a bit of fun talking about a word, but I see if you analyse it closer, you can take what you took from it. But thank you for your message. Discovered 250 episodes of MASH on the Sony channel. Great antidote to ennui, says Drusilla. Drusilla! It's a great name. Drusilla. I saw your name and I thought, is that your real name or is that your avatar name? Like, what were you saying, Dave? Buffy, the Vampire Slayer? But it comes from the Roman, Drusus, which comes from the Greek, Drosos, which means fruitful or dewy-eyed. So good morning, Drusilla. And Alice is on to say, if a child came to me saying they were bored, Ryan, I'd hand them a duster and tell them to clean the skirting boards. Funny thing, it's a cure for boredom. Funny you should say it, at the risk of wanting to give too much away, but I didn't notice until the pandemic how filthy skirting boards are. Problem solved eventually. The actual real GIF, SIF, not the spray. Get down dirty, do it properly. That was the lesson I've learned in this pandemic. In terms of household cleaning, before everyone says, if that's the only lesson you learned, isn't it well for you? I'm just saying, when it came to cleaning the kitchen, that's all. So save yourself a text if you want to give out. Watching Designated Survivor, two episodes every night for the last I don't know. I'm on series 3 now. I like that expression. How long have you been watching it? Oh, for the last I don't know. It's good. Designated Survivor is completely nonsense and love it. Have you seen My Octopus Teacher? Yes. Well, now, if you were listening yesterday, I told you I watched it, but you weren't. God damn you, where were you? I was waiting for you. All hour waiting. No, but I have seen it, of course. See what you think. Amazing, great, as you say, the sense of trust, the freedom, the love, the peacefulness. A movie about an octopus, it'll blow your mind. Yes, well, Chris, I did watch it. I found it bizarre and bonkers, kind of brilliant also. Very zen-like TV, as I said yesterday. His relationship with the octopus was something that you should see for yourself and decide. But yes, beautiful, I'm sure, ultimately. But yeah, I did like it. I'm glad I watched it. I found myself laughing out loud a couple of times, as I did when I watched the trailer for Kong versus Godzilla. I couldn't stop laughing at it. It looked so stupid that I just laughed. It gave me joy. Well done. Love the travelling world. But actually, it was Roy on his own. Only brought the vinyl there last week. Track 5 is great too. Thanks, Vinny. I was listening to the Travelling Wilburys over the weekend and they are super. John and Mount Marion. In the immortal words of my mother, Nuala. Nothing to do. Nothing to do. I'll give you plenty to do after the old days. Oh God, he went there, didn't he? He actually even spoke like his mother. He went full Norman Bates there. That was brilliant. I love that. Carey Mulligan is excellent in the Blink episode of David Tennant's Doctor Who. Okay. And you enjoyed a bit of Roy there. Max the volume on the way home from the school run. You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it. We call it the Glenda Locks. It's a long story. All right, well, don't be having in-jokes on our, at our expense. You've got to tell us what the long story is, but give us the short version of it. Send it by text or email, ryan@rte.ie, and I'll tell everyone. Thank you. Drusilla was Caligula's sister. Oh, right. And was also one of the ugly sisters. Okay, thank you, Drusilla, who got back to tell us that. I don't know if you want to be either of those things. Caligula was a lunatic and as an emperor, and probably Caligula probably represented what we all will do after the restrictions are lifted. And I don't know if his sister was caught up in the slipstream of that crazy. And as for one of the ugly sisters, well, of course, we now know. We know what they were like. I wonder why you're calling that. Tony says, Seven is the ultimate revenge film. Brutal at times. As for Man on Fire, Denzel at its best. Yeah, there. Seven is a great film. I remember seeing Seven for the first time. The opening credits were unnerving. Do you remember that? They're kind of buzzing like lights not working and flies. Great film. Shall we take a break? Yes, I have a guest coming up. And it's something I was thinking about when I was off recently. It was, you know, the people who sit in court and sketch the faces of the people, the judge, the accused, the prosecutor. And you know what's happening in the States today with the George Floyd trial is going to be probably announced today or tomorrow, the verdict. And looking at those sketches, and I really wanted to talk to the person who does the sketches. What do they look at? Where do they go? What where do they sit? And we have one. We have a lovely guy, Mike O'Donnell, standing by. We're going to talk to him about all of that after this.